Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place for American patriots to come together as one united people, one nation under God. Today is Wednesday, May 8th, 2013. My name is Sally Bethel. Thank you for tuning in tonight, and thank you for joining this week's report on Truth About Education with Diane Kepis. Diane had a couple of conflicting schedules today, so I'm not sure if she's going to make it, but I'm going to go ahead and we're going to start talking about a couple of things, education and a couple other subjects, until she's able to join us, if she's going to be able to join us tonight. Say she had some conflicting schedules. The first thing, I'm going to just put it out there, when you talk about education and Common Core, truth about education, you have to talk about Common Core these days, because you need to understand that Common Core, common is from communism, it's where the word communism, common, communism. You need to understand that your children's children will live under communism if we don't change the direction we're going. That's a fact. That's what Common Core is. Common Core is massive indoctrination of children. It's this, everything that you ever were taught when you were growing up, for those of us who are older, those not in school today, but those of us who are older, we were taught, you know, what the Chinese people did to their citizens, censorship and brainwashing. They controlled them. They manipulated them through education. Same with Russia. This is what they did. They censoring the books, controlling what they were allowed to watch on TV, controlling what they could hear on the radios, controlling the internet. That's total mind control over the people, and you start it when these are children. You start the indoctrination with children through education. So that's what we're heading for. Common Core communism. Common Core communism. Keep that in mind. That's what that's about. And I was looking at the American's Creed, which I frequently read on the American Statesman Blog Talk Radio. And as I was looking at this, I'm like, will the next generation, will our children know what the American's Creed is? I know the current generation hasn't been taught it. So I doubt seriously the next one. It'll probably be totally wiped out. It'll be removed from history. It was Michelle Obama who said, we're going to have to rewrite history. She said this for the 2008 campaign, prior to the first election. You know, we have to change the way we're going here. We have to change America. We have to rewrite history. And literally rewrite history means they're going to go out there, George Washington didn't exist. The Tea Party was a bunch of terrorists. And 9/11 were freedom fighters. This is a sick mentality of what's happening with the progressive liberal one world order nonsense. But as I was looking at this, I'm saying the American's Creed by William Tyler Page, will our children ever get to know it? So I'm going to attempt to share it with children and the adults out there. And I'm going to read it right now. Like I said, I read it plenty of times on the show because I happen to believe in it. I say the Pledge of Allegiance, but I also say the American's Creed. So I believe the American's Creed is, it says it all. It summarizes it so much as to me, the individual. Okay. I believe in the United States of America as a government of the people, by the people, for the people, whose just powers are derived from the consent of the governed, a democracy in a republic, a sovereign nation of many sovereign states, a perfect union, one and inseparable, established upon those principles of freedom, equality, justice, and humanity for which American patriots sacrificed their lives and fortunes. I therefore believe it is my duty to my country to love it, to support its constitution, to obey its laws, to respect its flag, and to defend it against all enemies. This was written in 1917 and accepted by the United States House of Representatives on April 3rd of 1918. And you can go out to ushistory.org and get the copy yourself if you would like. But just think about that now. This is the American's Creed. And through this indoctrination of what's happening through education, your children may never know this. They're destroying history as we speak. They're destroying what America stands for as we speak. They are destroying from the good old Declaration that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Your children aren't going to know that either. And that whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it and institute a new government. Laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem the most likely to affect their safety and happiness. And there are those in office today who are hoping that we will take down this government and create a new constitution, if you will, because a new constitution would be so different, what they would want it to do. And we really have to fight to keep the current constitution. The founders understood what was going to happen. They've warned us over and over again, but it's we the people who have been lax on the job and allowed the crooked politicians to take over. The 300 million people have allowed 545 people to destroy this country. And we can't let it happen. And education is such a critical piece of this. You just have to understand, when it comes to education, the indoctrination. If you want, when you think about all the ways that you control people, the one world order mentality, that there's only a few people who are truly smart enough to be elitist, the elites, who are really smart enough to control the masses, because most people are sheeple. The masses want to be controlled. And I'm telling you, there's plenty of people who believe that that's truly the case, that most people as a general, are sheeple, that they have to have someone tell them what to do. They cannot be free. They cannot control and be responsible for their own lives. So if you have this mentality, excuse me, if you have this mindset that, you know, some of you are better than the rest of us, and you want to, supposedly because you believe it's fair to treat all the sheeple the same, to give every sheeple their own sheeple doghouse routine and control them, then you start through education by brainwashing and manipulation. You control what they can learn. Because when the individual learns, knowledge is power. So you have to dumb down the population. And the dumbing down has been going on for a while. Common Core is kind of like the frosting of the cake. And people like Jeb Bush are leading this. And people get annoyed with me, but you got to go do your history on the Bush family. Supporters of Adolf Hitler, One World Order, the New World Order, as George Bush Sr. said, president. And then Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, George Bush Jr., making us the North American Union. Making us the North American Union, taking away our rights that way too, and making us sheeple, converting us into serfs. The Road to Serfdom. There is a book called The Road to Serfdom. This, and I have not read the whole book. I've read some pieces of it. But this is what it is. This transition by the elite with money and power who can buy their way into public office, and then they control you. It's absolutely despicable what has happened to our country. And then, as I was saying with the Bushes, you had Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, which was going to create the North American Union. Okay, creates the North American Union. And what was he doing? No Child Left Behind. And what is No Child Left Behind? Think about what it really is. No Child Left Behind, we have come to develop this mentality that you can't say anything bad. You have to nurture the individual so that they don't get their feelings hurt and that they never fail. So when you do this, when you go out there and you brainwash a group of kids, everybody wins. Well, wait a minute. Life is a competition all the way through. If you want to succeed, you have to work hard. You have to do the extra work. You have to learn. You have to make yourself a better person. And that isn't what No Child Left Behind does. No Child Left Behind, for the child, for the individual, the child who t- takes the time to study, happens to be with a higher IQ, or has a family environment where there's a lot more education, all these various things that allow some children to be higher up in their scores and things like that, to learn easier, they are brought down to those who don't learn. And that's wrong, too. It should be the same, as plain as day. You go out there, you do the best you can. Not everybody's supposed to be a rocket scientist. Not everybody's supposed to be a brain surgeon. But we all have a place in the society, and you do the best you can. If you really want to be a rocket scientist, but maybe you're just not gifted in that way, if I can put it that way, then you spend more time and you study more, you get more books, you read. You do what it takes if that's what you want to do. If that's something you truly believe in and like, the odds are you will be successful if you're given a chance. But through Common Core, we're going to say, well, nope, the child's going to come in. We're going to monitor them for these years because the child is now the property of the community. The child is not the family or part of the family. The child is property of the community. And that's exactly what they say. The child is the property of the community. So they're going to use you as they see fit in the community. So those first few years in school, they're going to monitor how you behave. They're going to monitor how you learn, how you excel or don't excel in various things. That could be sports. It could be the rocket scientist. It could be science, math, English, whatever it may be, you know, writing. Or it's going to see that you're a worker, that you're not going to be in that upper class because they've determined you're a worker. And you're going to be sent to the manufacturing to go and be one of the workers, and that you're not going to have a choice. And there's nothing wrong with working at a manufacturing company, making things. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If that's what you want to do, or that's just what you happen to do and you're fine with it, whatever. But Common Core Communism is the process of taking the child, training them to what you think the society needs, what the society will pay, and you tell them what they're going to do. This is where government controls you. You have no freedom, you have no liberty, you have no choice. Common Core Communism. Common Core Communism. It's really quite that simple. Now, there's a thing on the Blaze about indoctrination, but before I go to that, I want to go ahead and mention a couple of things that happened today and happened this week. And then we'll see also, hopefully maybe Diane will have been able to join us. Again, there's a chance she won't make it tonight, so we're going to go ahead and see what else we can cover. I wanted to go ahead and mention Benghazi. They were having the whistleblowers hearings today, and I got to see bits and pieces of it because I do work during the day. And so I didn't get to sit there and listen to the whole thing, but I did catch bits and pieces, and it was very interesting. To have the one individual who, one of the key people there, he was told not to discuss it with the senators. He was not supposed to be interviewed by them. And when asked, when he first saw Susan Rice doing all the morning talk shows on Sunday and saying it was all about a video and all this other nonsense of what they were saying, lying about it is what it was lying. Now, was Susan lying? Did she really not know any better? And she was out there doing what she was told to do, like a good sheeple would do, or whatever. I'm not going to go into that piece, but I want to say what the gentleman said when they said, well, what did you think when you heard what Susan Rice was saying? What was your first reaction, response to it? And he explains, I couldn't believe it. My jaw dropped. I'm listening. I'm like, what? And then saying, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. You know, these types of things. That's not an exact quote, but that's the general of what he was saying. But he was definitely embarrassed about it. And why would they say this? And, of course, one of the questions, well, why did Susan Rice say this? I don't know why she said it, but it wasn't. That's not what happened. That wasn't it. And then he goes on to explain some of the other things that happened there. And it's all coming out. It was Hillary's responsibility. She's the only person who could, Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State, She was the only person who could waive the restrictions or exception, create exceptions or waive what, the fact that the Benghazi place was not up to proper security standards. She was in control. She said, don't do it. Just let it, leave it the way it was. So Hillary Clinton is part of this problem. The Obama administration, it's treason to me. I don't see how it can be anything but treason. They went out there and they aided the enemy. And there's more things coming up through this whole process. But, you know, again, I didn't listen to the whole thing today, but bits and pieces of it. And the whistleblowers are telling, who do you want to believe? Who do you want to believe? Do you want to believe Hillary Clinton or Obama, or do you want to believe these people out there who were there in the line of fire? And you just have to understand we have a government that is very, very treasonous, a government that's destroying this country. Some think it will lead to Obama's impeachment. I wish it would. It should. It definitely should lead to his impeachment. This is unacceptable. It should lead to the impeachment of Hillary Clinton. And Lord forbid that lady would ever be president. She's aiding the enemy. It's treason. It is treason. When are the two houses of Congress going to uphold their oath of office and charge these people with treason? Because they're being treasonous by not doing it. They really are. It seems like most of them have no clue what their oath of office is. It was all just a ceremonial, fun thing to do, but meant nothing to them. And, of course, you can say that across the board with, I say, 95% of all those elected to office, but then I say, okay, I'll be generous and say 90%. 90% of those in public office today who took a sworn oath to protect and serve have failed on it, and they do it on a regular basis. They violate their oath of office on a close-to-daily basis. And that's despicable. These people are guilty of treason. We have to do something about it. The other thing I was going to mention was amnesty, immigration. I've got a couple of things here I just wanted to go ahead and put out there because the illegal immigration period, first off, let me back off. Immigration. The current immigration system is another treasonous act. If they enforced the reasonable treason, enforced the true intent of the law, we would not have a problem. But they have manipulated legal immigration and illegal immigration to a massive invasion and takeover of this country. That's what it is. Here, we don't secure any of the borders. Now, we talk mostly about the southern border itself, but that's not the only border. That's not the only one. You've got all the ports, and, of course, you've got a northern border. So the borders are not secure. So that's the open, come on in and invade our country. We don't care. Invade all you want. That's treason. To allow, to aid the enemy to take over the country. That's treason. And then you have the legal immigration that they manipulate, the student visa program being one of the biggest, and that's where they go out there and they allow individuals that from countries that hate us, they use us as an excuse to bring them in. That's the way they facilitate the invasion of this country. We say, oh, well, we'll let them come in on a student visa. We don't care that they never show up for school. We don't care what they do once they get here. But we get them in that way. That's how we bring the invaders, the anti-American invaders, in to take over this country. 75,000 visas, student visas, 75,000 student visas, and something like 15,000 students have never reported for school. And you think about the fact that two people shut down all of Boston. When two individuals, two terrorists, can shut down a city like Boston, it makes Americans look extremely weak. Definitely not the land of the free and home of the brave. And you had a city of people who most of them were disarmed because of the Second Amendment type issues where they wanted to disarm the people. It's outrageous. But it's that legal immigration, which is used as a treasonous act to bring people in. And then the illegal, the truly illegal immigration is when these people don't do as they're supposed to, don't leave when they're supposed to. Now it becomes illegal immigration. But the fact of the matter is, those in public office opened the door and had them come in. Say, come on in and take over our country. Treason, people. Immigration, the practice of immigration as it is today, is treason. It's the promoting, facilitating of an invasion of this country. Call Marco Rubio and tell him that. I sent him something saying that to him today. If I can find my note, as I put it on the information I sent to his office today, illegal immigration plus enemy-friendly immigration equals the invasion of the United States of America by treasonous traitors like Senator Marco Rubio and John McCain, the whole silly gang of eight that are just a bunch of treasonous traitors. That's what they are. And anybody that promotes this stuff are anti-American treasonous traitors. That's what they are. Plain and simple. There should be absolutely nothing done when it comes to the illegals who are here in this country. They should be enforcing the law like they're supposed to. And this way they would be deporting these people along the way. Many, if they followed in the law, many would leave on their own because there's no jobs and those kind of things. They wouldn't be able to survive if the law was enforced. But more importantly, before you even talk to me about whatever you think you're going to do about all those here, secure the borders. That should be a totally separate bill by itself. See, we have this thing called Homeland Security. That's a joke, isn't it? Homeland Insecurity, not Homeland Security. It's been a farce and a joke. So secure the homeland first. If you're not going to secure the homeland and you're not going to follow the current immigration laws, don't talk to me about immigration reform because you're just a scam artist. You're a bunch of fraudsters. You're a bunch of evil, treasonous traitors. That's what you are. And some of the details, let's see, what we are learning about the Gang of Eight amnesty plan. So I'm kind of looking down on this sheet here. It's Senator Ted Cruz. There appears to be a general consensus on the need for immigration reform, but the devil is always in the details. As Senator Ted Cruz has explained, there is widespread bipartisan support for fixing our nation's broken immigration system, and we should approach it by addressing those areas where we can reach agreement so that we can actually have a chance on passing an effective bill into law. The so-called Gang of Eight immigration reform proposal arrived on the scene with much promise, but review of the details of the plan are revealing that initial optimism may not have been well placed. The more Americans look at the plan, the less many Americans like it. And let's see, in the words of former Senator Jim DeMint, let's see if I can find out what his words were. I'm clicking on the link. This was an email that I received. Let's see here. Okay. It says, former Senator and current Heritage Foundation President Jim DeMint on Sunday predicted that the Gang of Eight's immigration bill, reform bill, would be blocked if people read the bill. If you read it, you won't like it. I think if people read the bill, that it will be blocked, DeMint said on ABC's This Week. Because once you get into the bill, just like Obamacare, it's not the way it's been advertised. Yeah, it's like $6.3 trillion just to even start. I saw that number in it when I was reading it myself. It's Senate Bill 744 if you go out there and look at it. DeMint also previewed the results of the Heritage Foundation study coming out next week, which will highlight the staggering cost of the proposed legislation, potentially in the trillions of dollars. Our country faces very difficult economic and financial problems, DeMint said. There's no reason we can't begin to fix our immigration system so that we won't make these problems worse. But the bill that's being presented is unfair to those who came here legally. It will cost Americans trillions of dollars. It will make an unlawful immigration system worse. And then we have, let's see here. If excuse me, I think if people read the bill, that would be blocked because, once again, just like Obamacare, it's not at the way it has been advertised. Immigration and Obamacare, those two by themselves can destroy, totally wipe out the economy. Just plan on writing your check to the government. You know, they'll give you a few piddlings. They'll give you food stamps while you give them your check. What a deal, right? Food stamps for your paycheck because you're going to be handing it all over to the government. Senator Rand Paul has also noticed disturbing similarities to Obamacare. Now, there's a link here. I don't know that I'll get into it, but there is a link. To me, it's a little bit like Obamacare. I hate to bring that up, but 1,800 references to the secretary shall at the later date decide things. Isn't that great? I hate to bring that up, but 18,000 references to the secretary shall at a later date decide things. We don't write bills around here. We should write the bill. We should write the plan. While the proposal is being sold in part as a means of securing the borders and improving security generally, the frontline Border Patrol and immigration officers have been shut completely out of the process. And I saw some of the Border Patrol people saying, the nerve of them to try to pass this without talking to us. Shouldn't we have been consulted on this? And they should have. But this only shows it's not about immigration. It's not about immigration. It's about amnesty, which is what Marco Rubio stands for. Marco Rubio is a typical liberal progressive, one world order globalist. He is anti-American, pro-Latino, pro-Hispanic. He's not an American. He's a Hispanic. And you can't be both. And people don't understand that. People sometimes get mad at me when I say that. You can't be both. Be one or the other. The whole point of being an American means you came from someplace else. The Italians don't get special treatment, so why do the Hispanics? The Germans don't get special treatment, so why are the Hispanics? We should all be Americans. What about the Portuguese? What about the Canadians? What about the Mexicans? Okay, well, you're Hispanics, you don't have to be from Mexico to be Hispanic, the Cubans. We take this faction of people and say, well, they're above everybody else. No, be an American or leave. If you think you're a Hispanic, then you're not an American. Be an American and nothing but an American. There can be no dual nationality. If you want dual nationality, then you're not an American. American means you came from someplace else. Your heritage was from someplace else. That's what being an American is. Let's see. Let's get back to what Rand Paul was saying, Senator Rand Paul, if I can talk. A mass legislation or amnesty of millions of illegal aliens combined with an increase in future immigration will have profound consequences for every law enforcement officer in the country and especially those who enforce our nation's immigration laws. But we have been shut out of the process. This came from the ICE union president, Chris Crane. That was his quote. Former INS Special Agent Michael Cutler, echoes Mr. Crane's concerns, warning that the bill is a national security nightmare. And then additional information. Okay, there's another link here. Here's some of the basic facts. Upon a review of the Gang of Eight bill, commentators and analysts have discovered a number of potentially alarming facts, including the following. The bill will cost taxpayers upwards of $6 trillion. When I was looking at it, I saw $6.3 trillion as a starter. To just begin the program was $6.3 trillion. The bill will legalize between 30 and 60 million immigrants. The bill creates a new national ID database. That means we're all going to have a national ID card. With information on including photographs of nearly every adult citizen and resident. It goes back to this national ID card. And Ron Paul has been fighting that and trying to tell people about that. The border security and enforcement triggers are not based on results or even activity, but rather on plans for future activity. Okay. And those are some of the highlights, and it gives you a link to the whole thing. So it's immigration is the invasion of this country. The illegal immigration, then the use of it I call it enemy-friendly immigration, where you tell the Saudis and the Muslims, the anti-Americans who hate everything about this country, here, come on in as a student visa. We'll let you come in, take over. We'll pay for you to go to school. We'll give you welfare, just like a couple of guys in Boston. After that, go ahead and blow us up, okay? This is what this country is doing to its own people. This is what Washington, D.C. is doing to us. No to immigration reform, as the Gang of Eight has proposed it, because you're saying if you support it, you support the greater invasion of this country. And that's what it is. You support treason, and you support the greater invasion of this country, because that's what it is. Totally what it is. Okay, well, it does look like Diane is not going to make it tonight, but that's okay. We'll go ahead and talk about a few more things here, and we'll call it a night. I do want to go back to the indoctrination. Now, this is, if you go out to theblaze.com, and I have posted this information in the chat room. You can copy it off of there if you'd like. The indoctrination... Okay, education, indoctrination, and data mining in Common Core. Here's why America's schools may be in more trouble than you think. And again, you can read this at theblaze.com, and that was the name of the article. It was March 27th, 2013 is when it was put out there. So here we go. The Blaze has been at the forefront of uncovering the disturbing details of a nationalized curriculum known as Common Core. One of the most troubling aspects of this federal program is that government bureaucrats are currently mining sensitive and highly personal information on children through Common Core's tracking system. The data will then be reportedly be sold by the government to outside sources for profit. To discuss Common Core's practice of data mining, Glenn Beck hosted an array of guests on the Blaze TV Wednesday, including a documentarian Andrew Marcus, columnist Kyle Olson, Chris Nielsen, author of Children of the Core, Jane Robbins of the American Principles Project, among others. And if you go to the site, you'll see the video there. There's a link to listen to it. And according to the conservative think tank, American Principles Project, Common Core's technologically project is a mere one part of a much broader plan by the federal government to track individuals from birth through their participation in the workforce. As columnist and author Michelle Malkin has pointed out, the 2009 stimulus package included a state fiscal stabilization fund. State fiscal stabilization fund to provide states incentives to construct longitudinal data systems, LDS, to collect data on public school students. Here they are data mining the children. How much sicker can that get? Isn't that disgusting? Okay, and then we get even more off-putting is the revelation that a 44-page Department of Education report released in February indicates that Common Core data mining system could one day implement the MRI imaging, scanning one's brain's function, as well as using cameras to judge facial expressions, an electronic seat that judges a child's posture, pressure-sensitive computer, mouse, and biometric wraps on the kid's wrists. I mean, this is where they're going to monitor everything this child. Everything, the movements, the expressions, the brain waves. I mean, it's sick. It's data mining of children. This is data mining of children. Okay, let's see. So Common Core data mining system could one day implement monitoring techniques like the MRI imaging, functional MRI, scanning one's brain's function. It's terrible. And this is like some really spooky sci-fi stuff. Through the stimulus bill, Americans' privacy has been increasingly compromised. Now permission that had that once had been granted to parents to Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA, FERPA, to release students' data has changed with the 2012 regulation mandating that all information collected by schools since 2009 can be shared among federal agencies without consent. Think about that, what that means. Through the stimulus bill, Americans' privacy has been increasingly compromised. Now permission that once had to be granted by parents to the Family Educational Rights and Privacy Act, FERPA, F-E-R-P-A, to release students' data has changed with a January 2012 regulation mandating that all information collected by schools since 2009 can be shared among federal agencies without consent. This goes back to the child is not the family. It's not part of a family. The parents don't have rights. The child is property of the community. Common core communism. Common core communism. Just understand common core is communism. Common core communism. And if that doesn't sound like communism, if that doesn't sound like communism, what I just read to you, what do you think it is? What is communism in your mind? Okay, and going back goes to some other things, and it won't make any sense if I read it when you can't look at it. And let's see here. The whole point is we are destroying the youth. We are destroying the future of this country. The sad fact of the matter is the country, or the United States of America, is under such a massive attack, and it was slowly creeping up on us. These 545 individuals blindsided the 300 million who, unfortunately, way too many were worried about watching some type of sports game or entertaining, getting drunk, whatever, to pay attention to what's happening in their own community. And many of us were out there. I've been engaged in the discussion for about the last 15 years. It's not pretty. And I feel guilty because I wasn't engaged before, but I really wasn't taught to. As I was going to school, I was taught, you know, you go out there and you vote. Your job is to vote for the person, and they take this oath. I mean, you're told that these people are obligated because they take this oath. And here we go. And I encourage everybody to ask any elected public servant they talk to, have you forgotten your oath of office? Now, the one I have here is the one that's from the U.S. Senate. They're all very, very similar, slightly different, but very similar. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. See, foreign and domestic. And that I will bear true faith and allegiance to the same. That I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion. And that I will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which I am about to enter, so help me God. Now, think about your elected public servants. Local, state, federal, through the whole thing, the White House occupier. Do you think they honor that oath? Do you think they honor their oath? Some do. Some do. But to me, the majority of them do not. They honor what is convenient. But as soon as that special interest gets there waving those campaign funds in front of them, or as soon as that political party says, well, you better do what we want you to do, or we're not going to help you get reelected, we're going to endorse somebody else who will do what we want them to. It's evilness. It's treasonous. These people have violated their fiduciary duty to the people. They don't work for the people. They work for themselves. And they use us, to exploit. They exploit the people for their own personal gain, and then there's those who exploit and take advantage of that situation to destroy this country. Greed is definitely the root of all evil. If you want to see greed, just go look at the politicians. Very few statesmen. The American statesmen, stateswomen, those are the people who are there genuinely doing the people's work with no personal benefit or agenda. And that's not very many of them. Think about it. You tell me how many you think are there. How many do you think are out there working for you, working on your behalf? Not many. Very, very few. As I said before, to me, 95% of those people in public office today are evil, self-serving, treasonous traitors. Some of them are just ignorant. Some, you know, I mean, those who genuinely believe in something different and for whatever reason think it's truly in the best interest, you know, there's nothing wrong with truly believing in something different. But there are way too many who never consider the Constitution at the state or the federal level. Constitution, what's a state constitution? Just like those today, if you truly believe that the American people should be disarmed, then you do not belong in public office because you don't believe in the Constitution. Only those who believe in that Constitution should be in public office. And go back, let's study the Constitution about education. Where does it say the federal government is to control education? Whatever happened to the sovereign state? Remember as I was reading that? When I'm reading the American Creed? A sovereign nation of many sovereign states. States' rights have been destroyed. The individual rights have been destroyed. Anybody that does that, they're not statesmen. They're treasonous traitors. You know, if you disagree with the Second Amendment, and you believe it should be changed, and you campaigned on the whole notion that I want to replace or repeal the Second Amendment and do something else. You want to change the Second Amendment. If that's what you went into office believing, and the people elected you to do that, then I understand you taking that position. Because you said you wanted to change the Constitution. But until you change the Constitution, you don't have a right to destroy it. There's a process in place to change the Constitution, the amendment process. Go out there and change the process. If you don't believe in the amendment, go through the legal constitutional process and remove it. Of course, you're not going to do that because you know right now you can't do it that way because the American people would not let you do it that way. You would never get the Second Amendment repealed, so you're going to trash the Constitution and become the messiah, well, I wouldn't say messiah, but the dictatorship, the dictators, the elitist, who somehow think you have the power to take over. You assume the power, just like Michael Bloomberg assumes the power to tell people how much Coke they can drink or soft drinks they can drink. These people are evil who do this. That isn't what this country is. If you want socialism, go out there and go find yourself a communist socialist country and go there. You don't have the right to destroy the free will of the people of this country. And education is so critical to that. And they get away with so much of this because of the media. The media slants so much or doesn't even report. And then the education system. Common core communism. Common core communism. Please keep saying that. Common core is communism. Common core is communism. Common communism. Common communism. That's what it is. It's absolutely amazing when you go out there and you realize, when, as I was looking over the actual bill, the information that you find out there, you just got to understand it's all it's a scam. You know, when I was looking at this immigration bill, I kept hearing that Marco Rubio was the one who sponsored this bill, that it was his immigration bill. His immigration bill. Marco Rubio, the Hispanic Republican who wrote the bill. And I thought, well, okay, let's see what, I mean, I already know what Rubio is because he was a Speaker of the Florida House. He blocked every type of pro-legal immigration he could. He did it over and over again. He was never a Tea Partier. Tried to tell people that, but wouldn't listen. But now that they see what he's doing, they start to believe it. But anyway, going back to when I was looking at the actual immigration bill, which is Senate Bill 744, it says it was sponsored by Schumer. Well, wait a minute. I thought it was Marco Rubio's bill. This is goes back to kind of education, brainwashing with the assistance of the media. This wasn't Rubio's bill. It was Schumer's bill. They wanted Rubio to present it because he's the Hispanic Republican that they thought they had to get. You have to have an Hispanic Republican to try to get this to pass. And what better than to have a, as I call it, a GOP POG, GOP, P-O-G, Rhino Rubio, to go out there and promote this thing. We have to make it look like it's a conservative thing, the Republican Party, which, by the way, is not conservative. And we have to make it Hispanic-sounding so we can get the buy-in. A Republican, Hispanic, what else could you ask for? This is the brainwashing games that they play on the people, and unfortunately the media follows along. So when you go, it's just, this bill is bad news. It's the illegal invasion of this country, and it shows exactly what Marco Rubio is. We already knew what Schumer was. There's nothing new there. But the way that they played Rubio out there, and the Republican Party is part of it. The GOP, POG, they are part of it. Don't for a minute think they're not part of this game. And that's why they keep propping up the Hispanic. Not the American. Gosh, we don't want to treat Rubio like an American. We want to treat him like a Hispanic. Because the Republican Party doesn't need Americans, do they? They just need Hispanics. They're going to woo the Hispanic vote. And that's what all this immigration nonsense is about. And the sad fact is Rubio was anti-American, pro-Hispanic Latino. He'll celebrate Cinco de Mayo, but he'll trash the Alamo. That's his mentality. That's what he is. Excuse me. Let's see here. What other... And this national ID card, just it's absolutely outrageous. And I'll go over this one more time just to make sure everybody got it. Just got off the phone after receiving a recorded message from Dr. Ron Paul. He stated the 844-page immigration bill will have additional statistical language in it authorizing a biometric national identification card, national ID card, to be foisted onto the American people. You won't be able to work anywhere in America without receiving the national ID card. This is how they're doing it. It's a scam. They take one bill and they stick something else in it. They take one bill and use it as the excuse. NDAA, National Defense Authorization Act, being used to go and monitor and arrest American citizens without cause and detain them indefinitely. These are the games they play all over the place. And speaking education, it's something a little bit closer to home here in Florida. There was one bill that was blocked or did not pass that was promoting Common Core. And so there were some of us who were saying, great, we've done something to block Common Core. But then they slipped it into some other bill, totally different subject. I don't have the bill in front of me. They slipped it into another bill and put language about Common Core being the standard of public schools. These are evil, treasonous people. When you have to lie and deceive, then you're not being a statesman or a stateswoman. You're being a treasonous traitor. when you have to lie, if the public does not agree with what you're doing, and the only way you can get your legislation through is to bury it into another bill and lie about it, then you are a treasonous traitor. That's what these people are. And those of you who didn't read the bill, you too are a treasonous traitor. You should not be voting on anything you have not read. You should vote against it. If you haven't read it, say, I can't vote for it because I haven't read it. I will vote against it until I've had time to read it and to discuss it with my constituents. What a concept. Read the bill and actually know what it is. Wouldn't that be amazing? Well, I'll tell you. If, once again, if the American people do not come together, your children will be raised as communism, under communism. They will be communist. And don't brainwash yourself into thinking anything else. Your children's children your children's children will live under communism. Common core communism. Common core communism. That's what it is. Common core is communism. Your children, because at that age, it's so easy for them to brainwash the youth. And that's why they have to do it this way. This all ties into one world order, that the United States goes away, and now the United Nations is our government. The United States isn't here, people. Canada's not here. Mexico's not here. We're all one big happy family, one world government. As George Bush Sr. put it in 1992, when he signed us up for Agenda 21, a new world order. The Bushes have always believed in communism. They have always promoted communism. They didn't call it communism, just like they're not calling it communism here. They're calling it Common Core. Common Core is communism. Agenda 21 is communism. It's one world order, one world government. The American army military goes away. It's all controlled by the UN. Your personal automobile goes away. You don't have a choice. You have no rights to personal property. And how do you do this? Through education. You indoctrinate the youth into this new world order, brainwashing them, taking away their rights to learn, controlling the information, censorship. Americans used to be so much against censorship, yet they're promoting it through Common Core. Common Core has got this mentality of going out there, and all the books are going to be electronic. Well, first off, younger children are never going to take care of the electronics that way. They're all going to be destroyed through children, being children. But the point is, they want to control the message. You can't go to a library and pick up a book. You're going to have to read the electronic version that they have modified to control what you can read. Common Core communism. Common Core communism. Common. Communism. Common Core communism. So if you are for communism, you are in the right spot. If you happen to be an American patriot like many of us are, and you believe in the free will of the individual, you believe in freedom and liberty, then you better get off the couch, turn off the stupid sports game, read the Constitution, and get involved. Get involved locally and also at the national level. And, you know, there's those who think the White House occupier was elected because this is what people believe, that people believe in communism. No, it isn't. I do not for 1 minute believe he was legally elected, legitimately elected. It was through corruption of the ballot box that he was elected, which, by the way, it has been proven that the election that Alan West was in was also corrupted. He should have won the election. The fact of the matter is our ballot box is corrupt. And the two parties have a big piece to do with that, but not the only. We have all the outer influences, like George Soros and these other people. Which, by the way, did you know that Rubio's chief of staff used to work for George Soros? And can you say communism? Rubio, communism, immigration, communism, and the Second Amendment, communism. Now, Rubio isn't. Rubio knows he can't go so far out there and totally be communistic on everything because he will really get trashed. He would be recalled if he pulled that. So he's out there trying to play both sides, pretend to be a conservative while going out there promoting communism on the other side. So he cannot be reelected, and he is not eligible to be the president. I shouldn't keep going on him, but it just irks me to no end with what I see the news media doing, promoting this individual, and brainwashing the public that this is that he believes in something genuine, that his sob story of his Cuban parents and how they suffered, and they got away from Castro before that happened. They saw what was coming, and they got the heck out of Dodge. And the only way they could do that was because they were doing relatively well in Cuba at that time. So they came over to the U.S., came over to Florida. They were Cubans. Rubio was an anchor baby. He is not legally eligible, constitutionally eligible, to be the president. And he's a communist. He really is. Liberal, progressive, whatever you want to call it, anti-American, pro-one world order, pro the Latino community, pro the Hispanic community. He calls himself a Hispanic, not an American. You're either an Hispanic or an American. You can't be both. Pick one. And on that note, since Diane has not been able to join us, and the truth is I don't have anything else planned to discuss tonight. Not that I don't usually have all sorts of things to discuss. Well, actually, I'll do one more quick thing here, and then I'll wrap it up, since I was talking about Mr. Rubio. This was another email that I got. It's kind of a lengthy one. Let's see how much of this I can get to. Okay, this, and some people may have seen this. This came through my email, and it's Senator Rubio, Remember Me? By Paula Hilton. And this is dated May 7th, 2013. Dear Senator Rubio, remember me? Excuse me. Let me start that over again. Dear Senator Rubio, remember me? I was part of the Tea Party grassroots movement and one of your BFFs, best friend forever, during your campaign to become my senator. Of course, as any middle or high school girl knows, BFFs rotate in and out depending on their usefulness. Again, BFFs, best friend forever. Apparently, I've outlived my usefulness, at least until your next campaign. I'm sure my aversion to becoming a gang member also played a part in your no longer hearting me. I worked extremely hard on your behalf. I made hundreds of phone calls. I walked not only my neighborhood, but surrounding neighborhoods. I put out signs. I convinced skeptics you were sincere. But most of all, I believed in you. I did all this to send you to D.C. to stand up to the progressive left and the GOP rhinos. How did you repay my faith in you? You joined a gang comprised of the very people I sent you to fight against to push amnesty for over 11 million illegal alien lawbreakers. I am honest enough to admit I was duped. You have a new BFF. You have new BFFs, and I have egg on my face. You have teamed up with not only the most radical I hate America president this country has ever known, but Chucky will never do amnesty again. Schumer, Robert, circa 1986, Schumer, Robert. I didn't have sex with the underage girl Menendez John. If we do succeed, and I think we will, it will be a testimonial to Ted Kennedy's efforts years ago that laid the groundwork for this agreement, McCain. Jeff, I've co-sponsored 5 amnesties, including being chief of the original sponsor with my good buddy Rep. Yetzero, for the infamous Strive amnesty, Flake. Senator, if I had wanted to send another clone of these senators to Washington, I would have voted for Charlie. I'm a Republican. No, I'm an independent. No, I'm really a Democrat. Crist. That's good old Charlie Crist in here in Florida. Okay. During the 2009 interview, you made the following statements. I am strongly against amnesty, and nothing will make it harder to enforce existing laws than to reward people who broke them. Senator, I took you at your word, but I am beginning to wonder exactly what your word is worth. There is no way to reconcile the emphatic statement of 2009 with your push for amnesty with your newfound friends. This video can be found here. My unease with you actually started to manifest itself with your vote in favor of NDAA bill. In response to the many times I voiced my objection to that vote, I was told your vote reflected your extreme fear of terrorism and defense of this country. Really? That myth was put to rest when you chose to vote to confirm John Kerry and John Brennan. To bolster your trust in John Brennan comes this story from Washington Post. There's a link there. Whereby an agent tied to all things of the horror of waterboarding was passed over for the position of head of clandestine service. Okay, I'm not sure what that was. Head of clandestine service. Okay. Of course, the fine upstanding senator from California, Dianne Feinstein, showed who is really in charge by calling Brennan to her express her concern over the possibility that someone who closely linked to the interrogation program would be put in position to lead the agency, a spying service. At the same time, Mr. Brennan is busy destroying the CIA. Your pick for Secretary of State, John Kerry, is busily handing out my tax dollars to those good guys, the Muslim Brotherhood. Would you like a do-over on your vote, Senator? So now, having taken care of the State Department and the CIA to bolster the fight against terrorism, you turn your attention to the plight of the poor criminals who swarmed across our borders. Never mind they broke the very immigration law you said you needed to enforce. Now we must reward them for flaunting our laws by granting them amnesty. Please stop trying to spin me by telling me it's not amnesty. From the Merriam-Webster Dictionary comes the definition of amnesty. The act of an authority as a government by which pardon is granted to a large group of individuals. Please pay attention to the operative word pardon. That's exactly what your non-amnesty bill does. Grants pardons to the illegals in this country. Never mind your bill creates a huge new federal bureaucracy relinquishing most of the power to enforce its big sis Napolitano. Oh my goodness, that lady. She's another one who's a treasonous traitor, by the way. After all, you profess to be conservative for a limited government. That's the problem, taking you at your word again. Never mind your bill establishes a new slush fund that will redistribute my taxes to a group such as Acorn. No, they have not gone away, and La Raza. Heck, we all know that they are fine, upstanding organizations who only have my best interest at heart. What's a little corruption and voter fraud among friends? I really do like this letter. Never mind that we have already established a cradle-to-grave entitlement society in this country. Your bill further extends that generosity to not only the people of, people of the shadows, but all the family members and the amnesty provides for. As pointed out in the new report from Heritage on the cost of the Gang of Eight's amnesty plan, taxpayers can expect to pick up the tab for at least $6.3 trillion in benefits for your newly legalized citizens and their families. Oh, wait. Your Mythbusters website says they won't get federal benefits. The only thing mythical on that website are your facts. In case you haven't had an opportunity to read the Heritage Report, go here. There's a link. Senator, you have asked for ideas to make your bill better. Here's mine. Burn it. As the ashes cool, how about we try the following? And I love her plan. Her plan is good. Okay, build the fence we were promised in 1986. Enforce our current immigration laws. Immediately cut off taxpayer-funded welfare and education for illegals. End the practice of sanctuary cities. End chain migration practices. End the anchor baby citizenship, like you, Mr. Rubio. And honor and horrors of horrors bring them and horror of horrors bring them out of the shadows and send them home. Finally, Senator, please don't contact me when you are once again campaigning. I will be too busy looking for a new BFF. As the saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. This was Paula Hilton. And I hopefully didn't destroy too much of it as I was reading it. But I tell you, I think it was excellent, and it's the truth. And the thing is, the only thing is, there were many of us out there telling people like Paula here, when Rubio was pretending to be a Tea Partier, we kept telling them, he's not a Tea Partier. Go check his voting record. Go check his voting record when he was Speaker of the House. You will see he blocked every pro-immigration bill there was. He has always been pro-Latino, anti-American. He's an anchor baby. His loyalty is to his Hispanic Latino community, not America, just like most illegals. For those who are here, there are many, many Hispanics, just like there are many Italians, Russians, Germans, Portuguese, Canadians, French, whatever, that are here in this country because they truly, genuinely believe in freedom and liberty. But you have to beware of the silent invasion. The silent invasion is getting much louder. Illegal immigration, and then let me do my equation here again. Take illegal immigration plus enemy-friendly immigration equals the invasion of the United States by the treasonous traitors like Senator Rubio. If they are going to have no immigration, I mean, just the true diehard libertarians don't believe in borders. Well, Rubio, are you a libertarian? You don't believe in borders? Just get rid of the borders and let everybody come and go. We will not be a sovereign country because you do have to have a border to be a sovereign country. But if that's what you believe, then say that's what you believe. Try to actually be honest if you can. Be honest. 844 pages of garbage that destroy this country, just like Obamacare. Knowing that what they're doing with immigration, this massive invasion while they disarm the people, Obamacare totally taking away your privacy rights, Common Core, major indoctrination and brainwashing of the youth, deciding what they're going to do, deciding their role, taking the child away from the family. This isn't America, people. If you don't stop it, if you're not going to stop it, your children will live in communism. Your children's children will be communist. That's the way it is. And the liberty and freedom, the whole concept of any type of liberty and freedom will have died. And it will doubtfully ever be able to come back on this planet again. And that's due to the massive, once these people take global control, once the One World Order takes over, once the United Nations takes over, once the central bank, as in the Federal Reserve, totally control the money, the people will have very little options. So you better appreciate the rights you have now, the right to read a book, the right to become educated and informed. Knowledge is power. You better do it now. Now or never. The second revolution, the second American revolution, is now or never. Common Core is communism. Truth about education. Common Core is communism. Common Core is communism. Jeb Bush likes Common Core. Jeb Bush is a major promoter of Common Core. Jeb Bush, the Bush family, believes in communism. They believe in the New World Order. They believe no child left behind. They believe in the Security Prosperity Partnership of North America, which dissolves the United States. That's what they are. Beware. You have to dig into what these people really do, what they are. Look at Bill Gates. Oh, my goodness. Look at Michael Bloomberg. It's crazy. The death of America, the fall of America, it's upon us if we don't do something. The fall of the United States of America. I mean, I've had shows literally calling it reality check. The United States of America has fallen. Freedom and liberty have died. We are so, so close to that. I still think we have hope to turn it around and not totally end up there. But I'm not sure. We've got to get people involved. And on that note, I'm going to wrap it up. We'll please tune in next week. We'll have another episode on Truth About Education. Please be involved. Open up that Constitution and read it. And think about what it would be like if you send your paycheck. You really don't even get paid. You get so many stamps, food stamps, to go buy your food. You get assigned a house. You get told what time to catch the bus. You have a chip in your head, whatever it may be, a national ID card that says what you're allowed to do. Think about communism. Think about the death of the United States, the end of freedom. There are many people around this world who are praying that the United States survives. They want the freedom. They're trying to get here. They're trying to get here legally. But you also have that evil element out there, Muslim Brotherhood, the radical Islamist, who don't believe that the people have the rights. They believe in Sharia, where they can kill a woman for whatever. All these kind of things that are destroying this country. And it's all being done by the 545 in Washington, D.C., and, of course, your local and state governments, while the people sit on the sidelines. We, the people, have the power, and we have the knowledge. We have the knowledge today. We won't have it tomorrow. They're going to block that knowledge. Knowledge is power. Anyway, on that note, thank you for tuning in. Please, tomorrow night, I have the transportation report. We've been doing it at 9 p.m. I'm going to see if we might be going back to the 7 o'clock time. But stay tuned. And Monday we have our regular show. Then we have the American Freedom Watch radio show on Tuesday. We're doing all sorts of things here. And if you want to be a guest on the show, please contact me. You can call me at 407-451-1717. Leave me a message. Tell me what you want to discuss on the show. And we'll try to get something scheduled. And we must be united as one people. One nation under God, one united people. We have to do it for the children, or they will be communist. They will live in communism. Common Core communism. Common Core communism. Common Core communism. Anyway, please be involved. Take ownership of your community, your country. Don't let it go down the tubes any more than it already has. Protect your rights while you still can. May God bless and protect the United States of America. Good night, everyone.